Hi there, welcome to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins. Doc, thanks so much for being on the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
You guys had a meeting on Tuesday, your regular fiscal court monthly meeting, and you had a pretty lengthy agenda. But before we get into that, I want to go a little bit back. What happened last week, we had some state people come in to kick off the Commonwealth Bowl.
Yes, very exciting. I'm hoping we can win it. I got a chance to hold the trophy. It's a nice crystal bowl on a nice platform, and I did get a hold of it, but I'd like to keep it for the office down there if I could. So hopefully everybody will get behind this. It's a fundraiser for basically God's Pantry, our local pantry that helps people with food issues, hunger. And we have from the 16th, I think, till the 26th, so we still have time. Mm-hmm. We hope everybody will come and make a donation to the judge's office. It's a dollar. I think a dollar provides about almost 8 meals, I think.
That's amazing.
And, if you want to bring canned food or anything that you can to help people that are hungry, we'd love to have people bring it to the courthouse. We're going to have a place out in the front where you can just drop it off. But as far as cash, you may want to come and give that to my secretary or myself, Lois, or hopefully I'll be there as well. But I'm in and out a lot, so
that's true.
But we hope Round County will come to and help us win this ball, this nice trophy. I tried to get them to let me use the $5,000 we got. We bought 28. You have to use a forklift to lift them up, but we
pallets.
Had, I think, 28 of those. Pallets of food. But that was back a few months ago, so we don't get to use that, but I wish I could. I think we'd win easily, but hopefully the spirit here in Round County with homecoming going on, take a little time for those people less fortunate and, make a donation down at the courthouse, the county building.
I think a lot of us here in Rowan County are very lucky and blessed to have a privileged existence where we don't have to think about food insecurity.
That's correct,
but there really are quite a few people in our community and outside our community throughout Kentucky that do face food insecurities on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, actually, I was with the Extension Board. I'm on the Extension Board, and they were talking. Paul was talking about. The university had given them some land to grow sweet potatoes, and they wound up getting around 250 bags of sweet potatoes they're going to give out at Commodity Day. I think it's today, I believe. And that's going to be at Johnson's Church of God out on Cranston is going to be the new location for that. But anytime people can help people that are less fortunate, we should do it and do it with a little joy in our heart, and you usually get more than what you give.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into the agenda that you guys went over for the fiscal court meeting back on Tuesday. The first thing you guys did was talk about the speed limit over on Hyatt Lane, the second reading of this ordinance that's going to make the change. So tell me a little bit about what it's going to change to.
Well, we had some requests. I think it's going to be 20 miles an hour. I think the average speed is 35 miles an hour on county roads. But because of some of the traffic hairpin curves, you couldn't see around them very well. We had some citizens that wanted us to change that, and we're going to change it. And second reading, we'll make that happen. We'll put up the signs, and hopefully people will slow down a little bit and maybe save somebody's life.
Yeah, that is an important thing to note. A lot of us who live in this community are used to those quick curves and feel like, oh, we can make them, or you kind of straighten them out a little bit as you're going around, and that's just not a safe thing.
I've never
thing
done
to do.
That, I don't think.
No, never. Me either.
Never told a lie either, I guess.
You guys had a lot of a new business on the agenda. First, you guys heard from Joy Brown over about the Arts Center. So tell me what's happening with that.
Well, the Arts Center, the Tourism Board kind of took that over, the Conference Center. They worked together. And they do a lot of good things. So far, we're doing well. We did have some roof issues when we got those taken care of, and there was some of the channels or the valleys, I guess, had not been maybe put in properly, or maybe they aged a little faster than what we wanted them to. So there was some leakage. We're also going to put a request in. We're looking for bids on maybe doing some drywall repairs inside of the upper chamber where the old courtroom was. And hopefully that's fixed. But, again, we'll need a few rains to make sure we solve that problem. I've also contacted B-Dry, and I'm going to look at another group, I think, over in Bath County that maybe does some of that work as well to maybe try to fix the Veterans Center. It has some leakage still, and when you have big rains, it comes in under the, in the basement. And also the Yard Center has some problems. We've solved some of the problem. It used to be pretty 2 or 3 inches deep in there at times, and it's we get little puddles now, but we'd like to fix it. We may as well, while we've got some money to do some of these repairs, we've got to go ahead and do them and get them fixed properly.
I feel like everybody in town who has a basement, every building in town that has a basement has had problems.
We've had a rainy season, but we can't complain too much because if you look at the suffering the people down in Texas are going through now, and if you look at the suffering that the people in the tornado or the hurricanes have gone through, I mean, we got to count our blessings. A little rain, a little water in your basement shouldn't upset you that much. But it's still, it does. We'd like to fix it where we don't have those kinds of problems.
Absolutely. Now, you guys also discussed the proposal from PHI, and that is the medical helicopter service that we have here
That's
in town.
Correct. We table the issue. I'd like to go ahead and do something on it, but the mayor attended our meeting, I guess, last month. And he had heard about it, and he thought he could get his council to go along with us, and they would do part of it, I think around $11,000, $12,000 they would do, and we would do around $30,000, and that would cover every citizen in the county. But I think there was some concern in the city council meeting. I didn't attend, but I heard there were some people saying that, maybe the county ought to cover all of it. But hopefully when they have their meeting, and I'm going to try to talk to some of them and find out what they want to do on it. But it's an opportunity to give a little tax break. We'll take tax money and give people a break on if they're ever flown out, at least on PHI. Now, the bad part about it is there's two other, I think, groups that actually fly people out besides PHI, one out of up in West Liberty. I think the other one may be out of I'm not sure if it's up in maybe in Lexington, but they can only cover so much. And mm-hmm. if they're carrying someone, they have one helicopter. I think there's two, one other one in London that serves us. But if they're busy, we've got to use someone else, and that person would have to wind up paying a pretty good bill, anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000, depending on how far you're going and how, it's expensive travel.
Absolutely.
On helicopters, but it seems to me we've got the money in the budget, I think, to do this. We wanted to, and I'm hopefully the city and county will come together and we'll give some people at least an opportunity to maybe save $20,000 or $30,000 if they're ever transferred on a helicopter out of here.
Absolutely. Well, we will have to wait and see what the city council and what the fiscal court decide to do with that proposal. Moving on the agenda, we've got a black lung resolution reclaim. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I had a gentleman ask me, Mr. Grider, mm-hmm. who was going to be there, but he couldn't make it, and asked me to basically speak on its behalf. And what it is there's a lot of billions of dollars up in Washington from the unmined minerals, the mining tax that companies pay. It goes to reclaim land, and there's a lot of money in there. We've used some of it in parts of eastern Kentucky where there's coal, where mining has occurred. But it's sitting there, not being used, and we'd like to see it used not only for reclamation, but also to bring water and sewer lines into the communities. And some of that's been done. We'd like to see more of it. But also the pension fund for miners is in dire straits, and we'd like to see some of those dollars be used to help pump their pension system up. It's money that they help produce. Without the miners, you wouldn't have had any kind of tax on the coal. You wouldn't have had the coal. And also there's another section, there's an increase in black lung again, and because more mining's occurring again. And we would like to see some of those dollars go in to help those people that are afflicted with black lung. So it was a resolution, doesn't have much weight, other than we'll send it to Washington, we'll send it to our congressmen and our senators and let them know we're in favor of doing that. You know, you never know till you try, and I was willing to put it forth, and my court voted unanimously in favor of it.
Okay. They're all going to stand up together. It's more a show of support than
just showing that we recommend that the Congress do something with those dollars instead of just let them sit there idly and not help people that really help produce the coal and the taxes to get some of those dollars back and when they need it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Slab Camp Road is also on the agenda, but I'm not sure what you guys talked about with that.
There was a gentleman wanted us to give it back to him and not take it out of the county system. He didn't have a chance. He didn't show up. I think he's got an elderly father and maybe had some problems, but he did not show up. We'll put him on the agenda for the next time if he wants to make it, at least discuss it. It takes two readings anyway to take a road in. It takes two readings to give a road back. We don't do that very often, but because most people, once they get a county road, they got, you know, somebody's going to maintain it with either gravel or maintain it with blacktop, mm-hmm. and we're going to mow it for, you know, the sides of the road, do the ditching. So usually people don't want to give it back, but this gentleman wants to do that, and we're going to give him an opportunity to at least explain his reasoning behind it. He didn't make it to the meeting, so we didn't take it up.
Right. Spectrum came in. I know there's been a whole lot of talk in the community about internet and different things, so I was wondering what they were doing at the meeting.
We have very slow internet
in
our county offices. Mm-hmm. And we have very slow, our phones are antiquated. We bought some new phones, but to use these high-quality phones and actually going to save a lot of money, you don't have to do the long distance. You can have better security on, you know, there's always people trying to hack things, and they'd love to hack our office too. So Spectrum has those things available. They've made a proposal to us. It's actually going to save us more, I think around $500 a month we're going to save. By going to their system, we'll have better phone service, we'll have better internet, much faster internet, I think around 200 megabytes, which is really, I mean, that's zooming with the other group we had. We were getting maybe 5 or 6, and, you know, things are slowed down, you have to buffer everything, and this will be a much better system. It'll get us ready when Kentucky Wired becomes available for the county. We hope that's going to happen in the near future. It's been talked about for years now, but we hope someday it will happen. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, we can go right to it. We can drop Spectrum. We got a one-year contract with them. We're renewable up to 5, but if we got the, we can go ahead and tie it in. It'll take very, it won't really cost us much money. The only problem is, I think it's about $6,800 to in construction cost. And they're not going to charge us those construction costs up front. But if we use it for 1 year, we're going to have to pay maybe a little bit of money into the back to them for the construction cost. If we keep it for 2 years, probably won't owe anything. So, and even with Kentucky Wired, we're still going to have some provider to give us the internet and some provider to give us the we'll have the cable, but we still need people, internet service providers.
Right. And speaking of the Kentucky Wired, I actually wanted to bring that up. I know there was some discussion about kind of buying into that install to expand the wiring.
Yeah, the city did, and that'll run from one end of the county down, starting at Farmers around the border with Bath County. Comes all the way up 60, all the way out to Rodburn.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll have, instead of the 244 that is normal, or maybe it's 288, it'll wind up having around 400 strands. And 188 of those strands will be owned by the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, in turn, basically give those to any group they want to or sell them to any group they want to. And, of course, Kentucky Wired will also have about 144 strands of that they can do the same thing. They can sell it.
Mm-hmm.
The other 144 will go to the county government and schools and that type of thing. So it's a good opportunity. There's some concern. You know, there's always new technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to need fiber But you may not need to go and put fiber in every home because of the new 5G that's out on the horizon. We may not need, it may be as good a quality as you need, with just doing without running a line to everyone's home,
right,
just using the airwaves. So it's something we can look at. It was a pretty good investment, but not compared to what it could provide and maybe what it could attract here to this area. Hopefully it's a wise decision the city made. We looked at doing it in parts, maybe up to 801, out to our industrial park. We looked at doing that, maybe on out to the school system and out to the other part, out by GSR. But my court just kind of decided we were going to hold off on it, and we can do it later if we have to. And hopefully, if 5G comes around as fast as we hope it's going to, we may not need the fiber as much in those areas either.
Right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Beyond the news headlines, Morehead State Public Radio is your window to the world. Your support of MSPR makes this possible, and your financial gift supports our local programming and student work studies. Visit our website at wmky.org to renew your membership or become a new member for as little as $25. You can also call us during our fall fundraiser, October 29th through November 2nd. Thank you so much.
And we're back here on Open Mic on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're talking with Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
We're talking about the agenda for the fiscal court meeting that you guys had back on Tuesday. The next thing on the list is a jail preventative maintenance agreement. You guys discussed that. You guys had a brand new jail open here recently, a beautiful facility, and it seems to be running smoothly as far as I know.
Yeah, we had three bids, and that's on the new jail facility down there. And we've decided to go with Johnson Controls. Johnson Controls is the – we have to use Johnson Controls because they're the only ones that can actually do the controls, your thermostats, those type of things, and no one else can operate them because they have codes on them. So even if you hired another company, they would have to still use Johnson Controls for the controls.
Mm-hmm.
But what this contract will do, will basically they'll do all the maintenance. They'll do all the changing of filters and – any kind of belts on the air conditioning systems, they will do that. It's something we should have done maybe on our court building years ago. We probably should have had we didn't have one on. We got one on the judicial center, but we didn't put one on our building ourselves. It's not hardly as complicated maybe as some of these other systems. Ours isn't, but we're even looking at doing the same thing on ours as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully sometimes the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I think Ben Franklin said that, and it still holds true today, that if you put a little bit of money into preventing things versus waiting until something bad happens, you actually save a lot of money. So
we're
going to do that, and we're going to do it on – you got a $20 million facility there. We need to make sure we maintain it and keep it running properly.
Yeah, I think sometimes it is really good when you see something that could be possibly an issue way before it becomes, oh, goodness, we have a problem.
That's right.
So that's a lot.
So I'm going to be leaving. It'll be up to other people, but we went ahead and decided to go with Johnson Controls.
Mm-hmm. Last time I was at a fiscal court meeting was last month, or maybe it was the month before, but you guys talked about a video conferencing system that would go from the jail to the courthouse, not the county courthouse, but the judicial center. To allow inmates to do video conferencing for their initial hearings and things like that. How is that project going, or do you have an update on that?
I know we've funded it, but I haven't heard any update on how soon it'll happen. But it'll happen, and we've only been in the jail a little bit of time. It takes time to get everything running. And again, once we get Kentucky Wired in here, and once we, actually it's probably going to help us when we have the Spectrum in here, that things will run much smoother. That'll probably help us in setting it up and getting it running properly.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of events that are coming up now that we're quickly approaching the holiday season. What are some things that the county is get gearing up for, as far as I know, we're doing the Commonwealth Bowl right now and trying to get all those food donations, and that's kind of a prep for Thanksgiving, Christmas holidays, and things like that. But are there other events or organized gathering things that we're planning?
We're involved, of course, with the Round County Christmas. We put money into that program, and I usually go up. At least I have. Last year I went up and enjoyed myself up there trying to get the thing ready, and then when people came through, I was there to greet many of them and an opportunity to spend a little Christmas cheer with them. Of course, we also have our Christmas feast, I guess you'd call it, mm-hmm. when we do Round County Christmas. I forget what we call it, but it's a dinner we have for
right.
for all the citizens in Round County and in Moorhead, invited to come to it. That's always a wonderful experience, wonderful time. It brings the city and the county together, brings people from all over the community a chance to sit down and have a nice turkey dinner with people, ham or whatever you want. And Santa Claus will be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an exciting time. It's good. I think it's early in December we do that. I don't have the exact date on
mm-hmm.
put it in our next show. I'll make sure to give you more details.
Absolutely.
But that's an exciting thing. Of course, we have an election. That's a big thing.
That is probably a big thing. We're all gearing up for that.
Yeah, and I think most people will be glad it'll be over. I haven't heard many bad advertisements like I have in Lexington area, but so far we've had a good election. I think people have been out working hard, but not a lot of bad things have been said.
Yeah, we've got the candidate forum that we're going to have live on the air here October 23rd,
Tuesday.
7 p.m.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I've had to go through a few of those myself.
Yes, you have.
I wasn't too excited of going through them, but it'll be exciting to sit there and listen to people and kind of see how their brains work.
We always have a really good turnout. There's a lot of people who listen on the radio, but they also come in and watch. And that's
mm-hmm.
what's amazing to me. We had several hundred people at the primary forum, so I expect that we'll have an even larger turnout this year. I'm sure you will. We're doing judge executive, county clerk, magistrates, and the Moorhead mayor. So that'll be a very interesting forum. But you get to sit back and relax
for
this
one. That's kind of nice.
So I
haven't done that for about 37 years.
I was going to say, you're finally ready for retiring from elected office.
Elected office for me. I'll still be involved. I don't want to quit being concerned about my community. I don't want to quit being concerned about political issues. And we may have one of our own. Rocky Atkins is still looking and maybe running. And that's exciting to have someone from your that you know personally
mm-hmm.
that you've worked with maybe to put his name on the ballot and get in here and start raising funds for him as well. So mm-hmm. we're excited. I don't want to stop being a politician, I guess, or being involved in politics. So it's an exciting time, and hopefully people will be excited.
Well, we have a lot of people in Rowan County that are very civic-minded and who pay very close attention to what's happening with our elected officials, not only at the state and national level, but also right here, grassroots, here in our communities. And we have several coming up, so it will be interesting to sit back and watch, and you and I can sit down and talk about it after that's all over for sure. It'll be an interesting
on the
race.
Economic development side. Let me mention this too. We'll hopefully have something here signed in the near future. We think it's going to be quite a few jobs, relatively good paying jobs, and really a clean industry for this community. We're hoping that'll happen, and maybe our next event we'll be able to. Hopefully, we'll have maybe a public press release on it before our next time we sit down together. But it's very close. We're waiting on some commitments from the state and on some help with some issues there, and
mm-hmm.
hopefully they'll come together and help us create some good jobs here in Eastern Kentucky.
People often forget that bringing in new industry to a community takes years sometimes.
You got to be prepared, and I don't think there's anybody better prepared right now than Round County with our we've got a good educational system, we've got a university, we've got a community mm-hmm. technical college right out there at the industrial park. We've got land, already utilities to it.
Mm-hmm.
We're hopefully we'll get the better internet out there as well, and I'm excited. I wish I would have had more announcements, but if we can get one or two in here and keep the things rolling in the right direction. It'll be a nice way to leave office.
And on that note, that's all the time we have for today. That's all. It goes by fast.
Thank you again. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining me here on Open Mic, and we will see you next Friday.